Hey, we're about 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock, a Patriots Day edition of Downtown, live at Seasons Main Street in downtown Bangor, and our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Time to talk Boston sports, and who better to do that with than our next guest? It's Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, who joins us on this big day on the Boston sports calendar. Bob, good afternoon.
Hey, hi there. What's up?
Well, just great to check with you today because it's such an important day. What does this day mean in the Boston sports world each and every year?
It used to mean one thing, and now it kind of means one thing and plus more. The Marathon Day was always a day of general celebration, and now, of course, it's almost a quasi-religious experience, and it's an affirmation of patriotism. It'll never be the same after what happened 2 years ago. And people run with all kinds of different reasons now, even more than they used to. So it's an important day in that sense. And, of course, you know, the Red Sox are kind of the appetizer or to go along with it. But the main event is obviously the marathon.
Well, we'll get to the Red Sox in a little bit. We had the marathon completed today, but also the Celtics finding themselves in an unexpected position in the NBA playoffs. Lost game one yesterday, but it's been a remarkable run for this team. And as you wrote about yesterday in the Globe, it certainly affirms the decision to bring in Brad Stevens with the job he's done with
this team. It's a mirror. Their presence in the playoffs and the fact that there's no pressure on them is a mirror of the entire Brad Stevens experience. It's a rather extraordinary 2 years. I'm sure that every other coach in every other sport is looking at this saying, how can I get a deal like this? How can I get a 6-year contract in which year one I could go 0-82 and nobody would complain? And then in year two, if I make the playoffs with a losing record, and then I play a team that a lot of people think can win the championship, so once again I have no pressure. Seriously, whatever he puts on himself and all that is there, but the gospel truth is that people don't expect them to win. If they win a game, it's great. If they win two games, hallelujah. If they ever won the series, it would be a miracle of miracles, and there's no pressure on them. So maybe next year he'll finally have some pressure. What he has proven is he can really coach his butt off, and the league is very impressed with him, particularly with the idea that they had 23 players suit up this year, the most in the history of the franchise, and he managed to, at the end, get his third or fourth roster and get them playing really nice, likable, intelligent basketball to get them in the playoffs. But it is a rather odd circumstance, you must admit.
Bob, do you put any stock into this notion of addition by subtraction, that simply getting rid of Rondo and Jeff Green made this a better team?
I don't think it's necessarily that simple. I think that they are technical things here. Rondo, he'll be debated forever. I've said repeatedly he'll be the most debated Celtic of consequence in history, taking over from Antoine Walker. And looking at what's happened in Dallas only exacerbates or only fuels the discussion. How good is he really? We may never know. He may play 15 years and we'll be arguing how good he is, how useful he is. The metrics don't support him very well this year in Dallas. The plus minuses, what they do when he's not in the game, the kind of shots they get. Is he forever a selfish assist man? What makes him tick? We may never have any answers. So I think he's better off out of here now. I think what's clear, we don't miss him. And as far as Jeff Green's concerned, it's very simple. He's only proving what we already knew. Make him the third or fourth banana, and he's a terrific player. Make him a star, he can't handle it. He has the skill set of a star. He doesn't have the makeup of a star. It's just that simple.
Going forward for this team, with expectations undoubtedly higher next year, important decisions have to be made. But there's also another element that I thought you brought out wonderfully in your column yesterday, and that's the seldom-talked-about element of luck.
No one talks about it. It just amuses me. So I decided to really think about it and say, starting in the mid-50s, let's forget George Mikan. Let's start with the mid-50s with Russell in 1956, and let's say, how many players of enormous can't-miss hype at any size, and there haven't been any little guys, so it's always big guys or mid-sized guys, have there been who have lived up to the hype, as opposed to all the people that have become all-time players who were turned out to be much better than people thought they were going to be? And I counted 9 guys total, starting with Wilt in 1959, who had enormous hype and who basically lived up to it all. And we've had a lot more great players than 9 in the last 60 years. So all the others are exceeded expectations, which means that somebody got lucky. And I didn't go back to Cousy, who picked out of a hat, and John Havlicek, who wasn't even the star of his own college team in terms of the Celtics. I should have put them in. I regret that I didn't, just to prove the point even more. If you talk about luck, you talk about Cousy. Red didn't want him, and he was picked out of a hat. And Havlicek, who was not Jerry Lucas, you know. So you need luck. You need luck. And you need luck. And then in the other part of the luck is to be bad at the right time. Or in the case of the Milwaukee Bucks in 1969, win a coin flip with Phoenix and get a championship 2 years later as a result. You need luck, but people don't mention that.
We're talking with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. The Red Sox winning a rain-shortened game today, Patriots Day at Fenway Park. They've got a one-game lead in the American League East. It's pretty early in the season here, but have we learned anything about this team in the first couple of weeks?
We've learned that the prognostications and the assumptions were 100% correct so far, that they would score runs and that the pitching was going to be a very questionable commodity. The starting pitching is very scary. Today was a good outing by Masterson. That was very encouraging. Parcello has it was frighteningly bad yesterday. And you know he's better than this, but you're paying him an awful lot of money to be a lot better than this. The thing that worries you about Parcello is what has happened to the fact that he was a ground ball pitcher who now is giving up a disturbing number of home runs. So let's let the cycle play out, though. It's only April 20th. Let's have three or four or five or six, seven rotations before we can make any definitive judgments. But the early returns are that the team is exactly the nature that we thought it would be. And in a division that's quite attainable for anybody, frankly. And I think it's going to be a very, very competitive division in which you won't need I don't think you're going to need anything more than 90 wins to win it.
I got an interesting email today from Major League Baseball asking me to participate in a fan vote to choose the four greatest living Major League Baseball players. And it came, a couple of them were easy for me with Aaron and Willie Mays, but I looked at Pedro Martinez and I went round and round. Would you put Pedro on your list if you could only have four?
Well, that's interesting because that's an interesting one. I don't want to talk about greatest living players in their 40s. That's a category reserved for elder statesmen. It's funny you mention that because I was thinking about it the other day. You know, we had that great four all-time drop-dead, jaw-dropping, you know, hierarchy of baseball that have all now gone to their final award. But they were, of course, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Stan Musial, and Bob Feller. And the final one to depart our midst was Musial last year in his 90s. And I was just, the only thing I'm interested in, frankly, who's the next four. And the next four are Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford, and Aaron and Mays. But as far as living players, why are we even talking about this? What a stupid Major League Baseball is promoting this?
Yes.
God. Well, you know, if it gets people interested, fine. I shouldn't say it's stupid. It's like the All-Star ballot. It gets people involved. But, I mean, come on. I don't even want to discuss it in terms of people in their 40s and 50s. Let's just talk about the elder statesmen. I'm just trying to think. Mays and Aaron, of course, 1-2. No argument there. Everybody, we all will agree on that. After that, we could, you know, if you have to have the discussion, I'd need more time. That's something I've never thought about. But I can tell you who the four elder statesmen are. And Yogi's the oldest, and Whitey's right behind him, and then Mays and Aaron.
We've talked a number of times with you about the plans for the Olympics in Boston. There was a wonderful article in the Globe yesterday, and I had forgotten about this, but plans that had been put in the works nearly 50 years ago for Expo 76. And there's a lot for people in the present day to learn. If they didn't see that column yesterday, I hope everybody goes back and reads that.
Yeah, I had no recollection. I mean, well, obviously, I had barely gotten to Boston 50 years ago, and I don't even remember this. It was enlightening. It was very enlightening. But I don't know how many lessons we can apply from 1965 to 2015. I don't know. It's an interesting. It's a very interesting premise, though, and I certainly learned a lot. But I'm going to have to go reread it again because I'm just wondering about the lessons we can learn. But this thing is not going very well for those Boston Olympic people, and now there's more and more pressure on the outside, you know, especially since you got a city that could take over by 6 o'clock tonight, Los Angeles would take it over in a heartbeat.
By the way, congratulations going to you again. News came out a while back that you're the recipient of this year's Red Smith Award for contributions to sports journalism. Very well deserved.
Well, thank you. I'm really thrilled. This is a tremendous honor. And when I looked at the list of recipients, it was pretty daunting. a lot to live up to, and I'm really proud and pleased. And, yes, thank you very much.
Bob, always a treat to talk with you. Enjoy the rest of your Patriots Day. We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Okay, very good. Take care, Rich. Bye-bye.
That's Bob Ryan joining us on Downtown.